Good morning, church, and welcome to church. Please have a seat. So good to see all of you back again. You know, can you believe it? It's already March. Now, where did the time go? Time really, I mean, I think I must be getting old because it just feels like, you know, it's an MRT train, and before you know it, it's just passed. You know, just a couple of days ago, I was just celebrating my, you know, we just had our 30th wedding anniversary. Can you believe that? It's like, wow, 30 years, just like that, gone, right? Anyway, so good to be able to gather with you, back together, and I want to welcome our friends who might be joining us for the very first time. This is more than just an institution, it is a family, and you're not alone, all right? Those of you who are online as well, we want to welcome you as you join us. This is our Holy Communion weekend, but we are also in the season of Lent. That's typically a time when we reflect a little bit on our lives, okay? So we don't just go off like a crazy car that has no direction, but we are thinking about where we are going, not just how fast we are going. So this is a good time during Lent for us to reflect a little bit, to introspect a little bit, and maybe take stock of our journey, our spiritual journey. Now, in Church of Our Savior, just before I get in a sermon, you know, there are really three things that anchors our discipleship journey together, right? There are three things. The first thing is, of course, community. The community of the kingdom of God is very important to all of us. So for every one of you, right, we want you to be part of that community. We don't just want you to come and to spectate, right, to watch a movie on a weekend or a performance on a weekend. We want you to be part of that community. And because of that, we want to encourage every one of you to find a group to belong to, whether it's a cell group, a special interest group, one of the SIGs, and you can find someone, just be part of that, belong. If you cannot, start your own group, also can, right? So everybody, just be part of a group, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, you are not alone. The second thing that's really anchoring our journey in church, what we want everybody to do is to love God and to love people through our acts of service, okay? You know, some of you may remember long ago there was this show, you know, My Fair Lady, right? And in that show, there was this girl who was learning to sing a song. And she sang this song about love. It says, don't tell me, show me, right? Show me. And love is often like that. You know, it's just words until you put it into action. So in Church of Our Savior, we want all of us to be serving in some capacity. Now, when I say serving, I don't necessarily mean up here on stage, you know, singing a song or, you know, doing something very big. It can be big and small ways. Sometimes, you know, you can be just doing very small things, showing care and concern for one another. That is all part of serving. And I know many of you have been doing such a great job at serving, and I want to commend you for that, and I want to encourage you to do more. Now, we had a survey recently. We found that only 20% of our church members are actively serving. Now, to be fair, I think when they said serving, they thought it was in some official capacity. I would like to expand that. You don't have to be serving in an official capacity. You want to be serving people because that is what Jesus would want us to do. Can you say amen? Right? So all of us, just be creative. Think about how we can do something for someone, big and small. Okay, the third thing, and that is actually the most important aspect of our discipleship journey, is just what we did this morning, to be in the divine presence. You know, without the divine encounter in the life of the church, all we have is just a social club, social welfare activities. And we are much more than that. We are a family that is gathered around God Himself. Amen? So we want to be very conscious of God's presence. This morning, our Father is here right now. And even those of you who are at home, God is here right now. He is present with us. And sometimes, you know, God shows Himself in supernatural ways. He steps into our mundane existence and shows Himself mighty and strong. And I'm so excited because, you know, in Church of Our Savior, God does that. Can you say amen? You know, I'm sure He does that everywhere. I feel a bit biased, but I think God shows up here. I want to share with you a couple of short stories as a way of reminding us that this is more than just a human endeavor, more than just a religious institution. This is God's kingdom, right? Now, last September, during this whole COVID-19, there was still a lot of lockdowns, I received a text message from Pastor Arthur telling us that one of our church members was actually in hospital. Very serious problem, stage 4 stomach cancer, and was very aggressive. So, you know, I get these messages quite a lot, by the way. People are telling me that this needs and that. And I was always very busy. But this particular message got my attention because in the message, Pastor Arthur shared that this member who's in hospital, the husband, had a dream. In that dream, they were queuing up to be prayed for by me, you see. You know, so we're very in demand. Although COVID-19 got... there's no services at that point of time. So I was thinking to myself, okay, that's really interesting. No services. How to queue up to pray for people? We don't even have services at that point of time. But then the Holy Spirit prompted me. Said, you know what? You should go and pray for this person. I was thinking, but now hospital, you can't just go in. Because of all this lockdown, everything was very strict. Who was allowed was very strict. So I was thinking, then the Holy Spirit kept saying, already got the dream, how much more do you need, right? So I thought, okay. I hopped in my car, drove to Tan Tock Seng, and you know, I had the room number. I went up. I didn't tell them. I just showed up. I wasn't even sure if they were still there. So I just showed up, and sure enough, they were there, and they were very surprised. And actually, they were sleeping. Like, woke them up. But you know, so I came in and said, you know what? I heard about this, and I thought actually they requested that I would just record a prayer and send it to them. So I just bring myself all the way there, right? Recorded prayer. So I went there. I said, can I pray? And I did pray for them, and you know, and that was that. You know, just listen to God telling us to go and pray for people. Why? You know what? 2 weeks ago, I got this message from Pastor Cynthia. Say, we would like to share this good news with you. This good news. She had her CT scan on Monday, and the CT scan was not able to find any cancer cells. Thank you and praise God. Hallelujah. Wow. Now, that was all God. You can't engineer these things, right? You can't schedule these kind of things. It's God moving in our midst. Can you say amen? God is doing things in our midst. Sometimes we don't perceive it because our eyes start looking down. And we need to lift our eyes to look heavenward because He is doing stuff. You know, another story. By the way, I have a lot of these stories. Almost every other week, I get a story like this. I'm just telling you a few because if I told you all of it, then there's no more sermon this morning, right? So what happened was there's this man who had come to a church very recently, only I think about 2 weeks ago, right? Came to church with the girlfriend. Now, this man was not a believer, right? So he came to church, and during the service, God was moving, and this person felt very touched, right? And he felt God touch him, and he had been experiencing a pain in some part of his body for a year. The doctor has been asking him to go for surgery and to go for treatment. This person, at that point, felt that the pain went away. And he was very surprised. Now, remember, he's not a Christian, and he could not understand. So, you know, by the way, this person started coming to church after that, and he's asking, why did God heal me? You know, and this person, I'm sure he's going to become a believer very soon, if he's not already a believer, right? Because God is moving in our midst. This morning, God is moving right here. And even for those of you who are at home, God is moving when we come. And this man, just like him, he made space for God in his life. In this case, by coming to church. He's creating a space for God. And you know what God did? God stepped right into that space. And this is what church is about. It's more than just doing stuff, right? All those things are important. Three things, right? First of all, community is very important. You can't do without that. Serving is also very important. You can't do without that. But then, the presence of God is indispensable. You cannot do without that. All these three things are very important. Amen? So all of you, this is our church program for discipleship, right? And I want all of you to consciously engage yourself in all of these areas. Get in a cell group, be serving, and always be very conscious of God's presence. Amen? Okay, that's not the sermon, all right? That's just like a reminder of what we are doing in church in this whole series of seeking the face of God. Okay, so let's continue into this service. Just like this man who made time on a Sunday, made time on a Sabbath, we want to talk about Sabbath today. And why this is such an important law for us Christians today in 2021. And I feel that in these times of change and crisis, all the more, the law of Sabbath is something that we need to pay attention to. In the Bible, there is this story in Exodus chapter 16, where we find the very first Sabbath laws being instituted. Some people will tell you, okay, Sabbath was instituted in Genesis when God rested. Okay, that was not a law. Okay, it only became a law in Exodus chapter 16. And the story, the backstory to this is, was the children of Israel were escaping from Egypt. They were out in the wilderness. They had come to a place, they crossed the Red Sea and came to Elim, right? And from Elim, they had moved into the wilderness of Zin, south of Israel. And in that place, they started to do what Singaporeans do so well. They started to complain about the food, right? They didn't like the food was not nice, they preferred the food in Egypt, and all complaining, all sorts of things. God had it up to here, and God said, you know what? I'm going to give you the food. In the evening, you're going to eat meat, and in the morning, you're going to get something special. Does anyone know what the morning stuff is? Manna, right? Last time, actually, we had a restaurant in Holland Village called Country Manna, right? So, evening, you get quail, the birds will come, and then you can have your fill of the meat. In the morning, you're going to get this special stuff called manna. Now, manna is very unusual. This stuff here is very good, but it only has an expiry date of 1 day only, right? So, in the morning, they will go and collect. Early morning, they'll go and work. They collect as much as they needed. And then by afternoon, if anything is left out there, it just kind of melted, right? It disappeared. It doesn't last very long. But you can prepare what you did collect, and that will be food. However, it has this very unusual property. Like Cinderella, after midnight, the thing just rot. Okay? I mean, I'm not saying that Cinderella rot, but this food will rot, and maggots will start coming out. And God said, don't keep it for more than 1 day. This stuff only lasts for 1 day. So the people will collect, like, you know, like Singaporeans again, very kiasu. Some people must collect extra, right? Somehow tell them don't need extra, they also must take extra. Mask also must take extra. Everything also must take extra. Okay, so they took extra, and guess what? Lo and behold, you cannot keep it. Sure enough, it rotted, the maggots came out. So that was like the backstory. And God says, you know, on Friday, however, there's going to be something special. This manna would normally last 1 day, will suddenly last 2 days. Okay, I want you to just think about this for a second. How unusual this thing is. My wife likes to make Milo for me, because I don't drink coffee, I don't drink tea. So she makes Milo for me like a small kid, you know. So I will have my Milo. But often when the Milo comes, it's very hot. Normally you have to wait for 15 minutes, 20 minutes before it cools down, right? So she'll put that, and I'll wait for 10, 15, 20 minutes, and when it's cool, I'll drink it. Now imagine one day it says, today is special. On Friday, it takes 2 hours to cool down. Are you crazy? It doesn't work like this. That's not how the laws of physics work, right? So when this manna itself, being a miracle, had another miracle layered on top of it, and there's a miracle of provision. God says, you know what? On Friday, whatever you collect, you can collect extra on Friday. It will not rot. It will miraculously last you one extra day, right? So all these people, they had this special arrangement with God, with the manna. Now this is the story that you find the beginning of Sabbath. God says, because on Sabbath, I don't want you to work. You don't have to work. Friday, you can collect whatever. That will last you by faith for the extra day that you don't have to work. So that was the institution of Sabbath. Now, there are three things that we want to learn about Sabbath and Sabbath keeping from this story that's relevant for us. First of all, Sabbath is about rest. Everyone say rest. But not just rest from work. You know, I hear a lot of people talk about Sabbath from time to time, and almost without fail, every time they say Sabbath, they mean rest from work. Don't have to work, all right? Because we're all not machine, ma. We're all human being, not human doing, right? So, you know, when you work, your body will break down. You must rest. God has designed. Okay, I think that's resting from work. And I suppose most of us would think this way because that's what we've been told all the time. But nobody told me, rest for what? Right? I mean, resting from work, but why? And a lot of young people today will say, but Pastor, I'm not tired. I don't need to rest. I feel fine. I would like to keep working. Right? I mean, why do you have to enforce rest? And I think the problem here is that they have missed the boat. I think the bigger part of Sabbath is not what you're resting from, but what you're resting for, right? And let's look at this passage here a little bit. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 22 to 23, it says, so it was on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for each one. And the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses, and he said to them, this is what the Lord says. Okay, this is what the Lord says. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest. Okay, that rest part. Then, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you bake. Okay, the one, the cooking instructions, I think we'll skip that, right? Okay, so now, tomorrow is a Sabbath rest. That's what I've been told all the while. But most of the time, nobody explains, but why is it a holy Sabbath to the Lord? So it says here, when it says holy, what is holiness? I want to think about this for a second. What exactly is, how is a Sabbath holy? And I want to suggest to you, the idea of holiness is that it is not mixed with other things. That's what holiness kind of conveys, right? You have the clean and you have the unclean. When Moses entered into the presence of God in the burning bush, God told him, Moses, right, Moses, take off your sandals. Because the ground upon which you stand is holy. You cannot mix this stuff. So when God says this is a holy Sabbath, God is saying, okay, I want you to create a space into which you don't bring the other stuff, the unholy stuff. Right? This is a space that is reserved for God. It is a sacred space, a holy space that God owns, that belongs to God. And we're thinking about a space that's not necessarily on any particular day, but a space that's constantly reserved for God. And we're saying, God, in this space, there's no sharing, right? There's no multitasking. There's no all kinds of other stuff entering into that space. And this is why Sabbath is not just about ceasing from work. It's ceasing from work in order to create a space that belongs to God. This part, I think most people actually don't do. We only stop from work. We stop from work to play golf, right? Our Sabbath is I love Sabbath. You know, Sabbath, I can go and watch a movie, you know, sit down, you know, chill, you know, maybe watch some YouTube or Netflix. You know, young people, you know, actually young people don't stop at all. They continue Animal Crossing among us, you know, playing all their games, right? So this is what I feel is missing. Sabbath is rest, but it is resting from work in order or for the purpose of creating a sacred space, a holy space. In the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 and 9, it says this, remember the Sabbath day to what? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, most of the time, you say, remember the Sabbath day. Stop. To watch show, to go out with your family, you know, to drive to Johor, to eat durian, you know, whatever the case may be. But actually, God says, no, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord. It's not a Sabbath of your, you know, game, of your whatever. It is a Sabbath that belongs to God. So, this is actually the commandment. And I realized for the longest time, I only read the first half of the commandment. And only to realize that, oh my goodness, you know what? I think most of us have been neglecting this law for the longest time. And if we're honest about it, most of us are probably a little bit ignorant about it, partly the fault of the church, never explained to you. Today, you cannot blame the pastor anymore because we explained to you already, right? So we keep Sabbath from ceasing from things that distract. And actually, this Lent is a good time where we put aside the things that distract, things that demand our attention. We choose the thing that Mary chose. Mary chose to sit at... I mean, there was stuff going around. There is always stuff going around, right? There's always work to do. Martha was very cognizant of all the work that needs to be done. But Mary chose. It's not that Mary was unaware or that she was lazy. She knew that there was stuff to do, but she chose a Sabbath. So I see Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus as a kind of picture, or if you like, a parable of what Sabbath keeping is. There is a lot of things to do, but she's sitting there. And she's sitting at the feet of Jesus, paying attention. I want to just imagine this. Imagine Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, gazing up at the Master, and Lord saying, you know, today is the day of the Lord. And then Mary suddenly, oh, sorry, Lord. Just answer one quick message. Sorry, yeah? Okay. Yeah, continue. Today is the day of the Lord. Yeah, today is the day that the Lord has made. It is God's heart to... Okay, sorry. Sorry, Lord. Sorry. Got another message. Work message. Sorry. I would say, this is how our Sabbath keeping is, right? Am I right?
Don't bluff, lah, right? We know this happens, especially those of you who are at home, right? You probably got two screens going on, maybe YouTube going on the other side, right? I can see, okay? This is actually how we're... But Mary was not like that. She was sitting there. Her whole attention devoted to the Lord. She was not allowing other things to come into that holy space, that holy Sabbath unto the Lord. So this is actually such an important thing. And this commandment is framed in such a way that this is not an ad hoc thing. You see, the trouble with those people who explain that Sabbath is resting, right? To recuperate from your tiredness. Is this, is that you only rest when you feel tired. And that's ad hoc, right? You rest, wow, I feel tired, I'm going to rest now, right? But that's not how the Sabbath law is framed. The Sabbath law is framed such that this is regular time. Whether you're tired or not, this time belongs to God. So you make the time, you create the space to give to the Lord. And now, in the Bible, there are many Sabbaths, by the way, not just the one on the seventh day. There's, you know, Sabbath feasts, lah, there are several. Sometimes the Sabbath can last days or even weeks, you know. There are many, many long Sabbaths. And of course, then there is the whole sabbatical year, right? There's one whole year. You know, I've always wanted to go on a sabbatical year, right? Inshallah, lah. You know, first time I want to go to sabbatical year, I got ordained. Second time I want to go sabbatical year, they posted me to a different church. The third time I went and wanted to have a sabbatical, they posted me yet to another church, right? I've never ever taken a sabbatical in my life. And then last year I told the bishop, I said, Bishop, please don't post me to any other church because I want to take sabbatical. And bishop said, okay, you know. Then COVID-19 happened. Now I dare not mention sabbatical in case there's some natural disaster in the world, it's my fault, right? You know, we all want to go on sabbatical because our primary thinking is sabbatical is for us, for me to rest, for me to recover. And I think there's a place for that. But the first thing about Sabbath is not you. It is the Sabbath of the Lord. It is framed that it is a Sabbath that belongs to the Lord. Now, God claims this space. And do you know what is the punishment for breaking Sabbath? Anyone knows? By the way, this is the most ignored law in Christendom, right? Of all the commandments we obey, this is the one law that nobody obeys, right? So what do you think is the punishment? Okay, it says here in Exodus, I'll read to you, right? Surely, my Sabbaths you shall keep, my Sabbath, not my as in, my as in, the Lord's Sabbath you shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore it is holy to you. Means you cannot mix up with other stuff. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. Capital punishment. Very serious stuff. This stuff is very serious, right? As serious as, say, murder, for instance. Wow. When you break Sabbath, oh, by the way, what is this word profane? It doesn't mean using bad words, vulgarities. To profane is to take the ordinary and mix it up with other things. So I suppose in modern context, Sabbath profaning will be akin to, you know, this time, Lord, is for you. And then you do other things, right? You do other stuff. And you sort of mix it up. That's like saying, God, I've reserved a seat for you here, right? And God comes in. He's about to sit down. And then you put your laptop there. And God's looking at the laptop and he's thinking, how am I going to sit, right? Oh, sorry. I reserved this other seat for you. Then you put a water bottle there. How to sit down, right? So profaning is when you take what is holy and you put other things there. And God says, you know, to profane that Sabbath will result in death penalty. Wow, so serious. You know, I think the obvious question is, you know, how are we going to avoid getting put to death, right? I'm so glad you asked, okay? I think the obvious question is, the way to do it is to, therefore, to keep Sabbath holy, to create a Sabbath space in our lives where you dedicate solely to God. Quite frankly, I don't think the exact day is important as the regularity, right? Which day of it? Because again, in the Bible, Sabbath appears on many, many different days depending on what kind of Sabbath it is. But the regular framing of it is important. In other words, it's not up to you. Which I think many of us tend to feel that Sabbath is up to me because it's my rest. But no, it is the Lord's Sabbath. It is for the Lord, and therefore it's not up to you. And you need to think about how you're going to create this time that belongs to God. Can you say amen? Now, very important. Nobody ever told me this stuff, but today I'm telling you, all right? So the first thing about Sabbath is rest. Second thing, Sabbath is a place for us to receive. It is a place for us to be receiving from the Lord. You know, the children of Israel, they were collecting manna every morning, right? And the peculiar thing is that it doesn't last very long, as I mentioned. But on that Friday, it suddenly lasts longer. On that day, God was doing for them what they would have done for themselves. In other words, they normally would have to wake up in the morning to work, to labor with their own effort to ensure that they have food on the table, so to make sure that, you know, the children don't starve. They're going to have to do this thing. But on that day, on the Sabbath day, they don't have to do this. God is going to do it for them. But of course, you have to have faith, right? You have the faith, have to have the faith that I'm not going to go out collecting. And I just imagine all these children. It is Friday night. You're thinking, tomorrow morning, we're not supposed to go out to collect food. Hey, if I don't collect, then no food, then how, right? You're worrying about all these things. And the temptation now is to take up your phone and call up the guy, I need manna, right? Did you want to do something about it? You want to exert yourself, you want to labor to ensure your security, but no, God says, on that day, you don't have to do it. I am going to do it for you. I'm going to supernaturally meet your need where you are, if you will have the faith to take that rest. Okay? You need faith. And, you know, as with all things, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You want to please God, you're going to need faith. So, this was something that's obvious in the life of Jesus. I don't know if you realize this. Do you know why they wanted to kill Jesus, right? They wanted to kill Jesus. The reason is in John chapter 5. It says this, for this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. What is these things? Does anyone like to hazard a guess what these things might involve? Healing people, right? Meeting needs, opening the eyes of the blind, making the lame walk again. He was healing people. And I'm thinking, Jesus, actually, you have to 6 days to do this, right? Why you get in trouble? Because this was the reason they wanted to kill Jesus. Jesus did a lot of things. They didn't want to kill Jesus because he had a different theology. They didn't even really want to kill Jesus because he was not supportive of their religious work. They wanted to kill him. One of the main reasons, as John tells us, is because he was healing on the Sabbath. And why does Jesus do this? Well, Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, he says, the Sabbath was made for men and not men for the Sabbath. What did Jesus mean by this? And I think what he meant was this. In this sacred space that if you are to create, if you obey God, you create this space where you reserve for God, God is going to come into this space, and when you are in this space with God, God will give to you. God will give to you, and you will be able to receive from God. Just like Mary sat at the foot of Jesus, I believe she was receiving from Jesus. Whether it is a word of encouragement, word of revelation, perhaps a word of refreshment, maybe direction, wisdom. We sit in God's presence, and when you do that, it's not that nothing happens. God is actively giving to you. God is giving, and we can receive in that place. I thought about this. If Jesus was here today, and he is here today, right? But let's say Jesus, you know, walked in the door on the side, right? Of course, we give him one of the front seats. What do you think he would do? What do you think Jesus would do if he were here today? I think he's going to go around us and he's going to start meeting our needs, actually, on the Sabbath. Because that is what he has always been doing on the Sabbath, right? He will come to a place and people come to him with their needs, and Jesus met their needs, every one of them. You know, there was this story in Luke chapter 13 that illustrates this, verse 10 to 13. It says, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, right? And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself. That is a picture, a metaphor, if you like. People with a heavy load, bent over, carrying it with all their own strength, doing their own level best to survive, and not succeeding. She was not able to raise herself. Then Jesus saw her. You know, she didn't come to Jesus. Huh? She was just there in the Sabbath, in the sacred space that was created. Jesus called to her and said, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." He laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Wow! If Jesus were here today, He'll be looking around. What is your infirmity? What are you bent over carrying, trying your best to do for yourself what only God can do? And you don't have your Sabbaths, you never have the chance. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't do stuff other days of the week, right? Of course, God does stuff everywhere, but Sabbath is created, among other things, for this purpose, so that you can receive from God. But because we don't keep Sabbath, we forfeited this great opportunity, right? So I want to suggest to you, all of us who are, and it's great that we are here today, because, you know, in putting the time aside, this is a kind of Sabbath keeping. We are reserving this time, although some of us, time may be shared, no? Time sharing kind of thing with God. But when you keep the Sabbath holy, God will enter in. If it's not holy, I don't think He's going to show up. But when you keep it holy, God will enter in, because our attention is on Him, like Mary. And when He does, His attention is on, He's looking around. You there, you come here. You're bent over, and He just lays hands, and you're made straight. You know, today I believe God is moving in this place. Jesus is here. Because you are here. Now, some of you who are at home, you're also here. I hope you are here, creating that space where God may enter in. And God is looking at all of us. And He's saying, what is your infirmity? Because He wants to heal. He wants to restore. He wants to renew every one of us. And that really brings me to the third thing that Sabbath is about. Okay, so first of all, Sabbath is about rest, right? Second of all, Sabbath is about receiving. Now, Sabbath is also about renewing our love for God. The third thing, right? In Isaiah chapter 56, verse 5 to 7, there's this very interesting prophecy. And I like this prophecy very much, because when we think about Sabbath laws, you know, sometimes you hear people say, oh, this is the Old Testament, it is only for the Jews. Frankly, I think these people don't understand the Bible, right? Whoever they may be. But some of these laws are not just for the Jews. They're actually for God's people. I want to read to you this verse as a proof, right? Even to them, I will give my house and within my walls a place and a name. By the way, this word, a place and a name, in Hebrew is Yad Vashem, right? That's a name of the Holocaust Museum in Israel. So I'll give them a place and a name. Who is these people that God's talking about? Better than sons and daughters. Okay, so this is not just sons and daughters. This is better than sons and daughters. I'll give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also, the sons of the foreigner. Everyone say foreigner. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are the foreigner. If we are all foreigners, unless you might be a Jew, right? If no offense, but most of us are not Jews. We eat crab, we eat pork and all kinds of stuff. We are the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord, to serve Him, to love the name of the Lord, to be His servants. Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath, right? To profane the Sabbath, and hold fast my covenant. Even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings, their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. This is about us, not just the Jews. And in this context of talking about us who love the Lord, who have joined ourselves to the Lord, who wants to serve the Lord, kind of like what we were talking this morning, right? The anchor points of discipleship in our church. For these people, they are called to keep from defiling the Sabbath. In other words, this is not just for Jews, it's also for us. And why is it for us? Because Sabbath is a time for us to renew our love for God. You know, in every relationship, you cannot take things for granted, right? And things like saying, I love you, are things that you need to say from time to time. I don't know when we say this to the Lord or how we say this to the Lord. Because very often, we say, God loves me, right? We say that. You kind of take that for granted. And after a while, things start to deteriorate. And you need to exert some effort to renew, to maintain that relationship. And those of you who are in relationships, you know this, what? You know this, right? You have to do things from time to time. You know, I told you the other day I had my anniversary. I woke up in the morning, first thing I told my wife, it's our anniversary. She said, "You remembered?" Well, hang on, you know. So if I didn't say that, it's going to be a bad year for me, right? I mean, you need to make some effort to tell people, "I love you." But how do you do that to God? Well, for God, by keeping this space, reserving this. It's a date with God, if you like. And you don't go on your dates and you forget your date, right? "Oh, sorry, I forgot we had a date tonight. Huh? Sorry, you no more date already. You're going to be single forever," right? And so I think for us, Sabbath is also a time of renewing our intimacy with God. And this is very interesting because in Ezekiel, there's this vision about the third temple. For those of you who have been Christians for a little while, you know that there's a prophecy in Ezekiel that concerns a future temple. A temple has been destroyed. Now, this is a future, the third temple. Now, in that vision, and I know there's a lot of interesting stuff that people talk about it, we're not going there today, right? But there's this part in that temple that it describes the Sabbath day. It says this, thus says the Lord, Ezekiel 46, "The gateway of the inner court that faces towards the east." Okay, so the temple is quite a large compound. It has this outer court. Anyone can come in, Gentiles and all that can come in. And then there's this inner court, right? So when you get closer to the center, it's more serious. The inner court is immediately outside of the temple proper, right? In the temple itself, you have the holy place, and then you have the Holy of Holies, which is the most sacred place. You can't go into that place unless you're the high priest once a year. So in this vision, there's this outer court. You're very near the temple. Now it says this, the gateway facing the east shall be shut 6 days. So you can't approach the temple. You can't approach the presence of God. But on the Sabbath, it shall be open. So, like Istana, right? Istana, you can't just any day decide to walk into Istana, right? There are times, unless you're otter, then otter anytime can go into Istana. But for most of us, you can't just walk into it. There are times that allow you to go in. Same thing, this temple, you can't just walk in and saunter into God's presence. There is a time, the Sabbath time, which is reserved. The door will be open and the day of the new moon, which is also another Sabbath. It shall be open for you, right? Now, you read on this passage, we don't have time for that. You discover that the prince enters this place and he worships. So this is a time where we renew our relationship with God, our love for God, through our worshiping, through our communing with Him. So here, describing a future reality. This is not laws that are antiquated. They are laws for the future as well, and of course for the present. It's a fascinating picture where we come together, not just to get stuff, receive stuff, not just to rest from stuff, but to tell God, "God, we love you." Can you say amen? So, Sabbath keeping, I want to argue, that's actually very important. Whereas a lot of the controversy of Sabbath has been over which day should you keep Sabbath, I think very few people actually understand how to keep Sabbath or even why we should keep Sabbath beyond the fact that because God did it. God rested on the seventh day. I think this maybe gives us a way for us who are joined with the Lord to keep Sabbath by creating a holy space in our life. Now, let's face it. If you're honest about it, I think most of us have been negligent in our keeping of Sabbath, myself included. Right? We have not understood this. How do we keep Sabbath? I want to challenge all of you because I want to draw near to the presence of God. Don't you? We want to draw near, right? How are you going to draw near into the presence of God except by God's way, by the door that God's opened? And God opens this door for us, among other things, on Sabbath. I want to challenge us to carve out a regular space. Now, during this time of COVID-19, it was very challenging because, you know, everything started to get mixed up, right? You have Zoom, and I think Zoom is great. It has some good convenience factors. But the danger with it is that you start to profane Sabbath. Yeah, I'm Zooming, but I'm also doing this other stuff, you know. And in our mind, you're thinking, but Sabbath is just resting. I'm resting. Until you realize that Sabbath is not just about resting from work. It's about creating a holy space. I'm not sure if those of you who are online, if you succeed in creating that holy space online. Some of you perhaps, yes, but some of us, maybe we struggle with that. But even for those who come to the presence of God, sometimes we also struggle, right? Because we have all these devices with us and, you know, thoughts in our minds. But maybe this is a journey that we can do. That we are people who keep from defiling the Sabbath and you tell God, God, we love you. Amen? 3 R. Rest, receive, and renew our love. Shall we pray? Lord, we want to confess that we have been ignorant and negligent in the past in keeping this space reserved, and not just reserved, but holy, sacred. We confess, Lord, that oftentimes we have profaned the Sabbath, we have defiled the Sabbath by just allowing the world to enter in the space that actually belongs only to you. And because of that, Lord, we have forfeited many great blessings that you would otherwise have wanted to give to us, Lord. So today, Lord, we want to come back to you and sit at your feet just like Mary did. We want to gaze upon your face. And Lord, we want to receive from you. Now today, some of us may be here with some infirmity. You're carrying a heavy load and a burden. You're bent over, maybe even for 18 years. And you're not able to raise yourself up. In that Sabbath space, Jesus steps. Today, Lord, we invite you to come into this space and to look upon our infirmities. And Lord, would you lay your hands upon each one of us with these infirmities and bring healing, and restoration, and renewal, and refreshing. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, we want to say that we love you. Sometimes we don't know very much, but Lord, we really love you here in Church of Our Savior. There's not much that we want to pursue apart from you and your will for our lives, Lord. So we thank you. We love you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.